We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Pro teams have millions to spend, and they don't always spend them wisely. But when it comes to a great shave, you don't have to shell out tons of cash. Harry's saw customers getting ripped off by the shaving industry with overpriced, underperforming products, and decided to do something better. They found their own way to make beautifully designed razors for a fraction of the price of the other big brands, so you never wonder if you overpaid. Harry's shaving products look great, and the weighted handle makes shaving feel great too. I like to keep my beard neat, and Harry's always leaves me with a smooth yet crisp shave. Harry's quality is top-notch, thanks to German-engineered blades made in their own factory that stay sharp longer. You can get a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. And Harry's has the highest customer satisfaction in the shaving industry, plus a convenient subscription option that you can cancel at any time. Getting the best doesn't mean spending the most when you shave with Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. That's harrys.com/bluewire for a $3 trial set.
Hey everyone, welcome to the Roto Grinders Morning Grind Podcast. I'm your host, Stevie TPFL. It's Wednesday, it's March 20th, it is 2024. We have an 8-game NBA slate to talk about here on today's podcast, joined by my buddy Keith Eister. Eyes 819. Keith, what's happening, my friend?
Not too much. Really excited. We have real live Major League Baseball starting in a few hours here in the wee hours of the morning. Takes us back to the KBO days as they kick off the season over there in Korea. But super exciting. We were talking a few bets here. Really excited to get back into the baseball betting streets as we get into kind of the dog days of the NBA season, but still some money to be made in NBA. So happy to be here to break down a little NBA talk with you.
Yeah, you know, at the beginning of the year, everyone does like their New Year's resolution and all that stuff and sets goals for the year. One of my goals this year, and like a lot of my goals are like family focused, but I do work goals and stuff like that. And one of my goals this year was just to produce more betting content in general for baseball. So I'm hoping, and I'm really kind of digging into how much baseball, you know, betting content I'm going to do for scores and odds this year. So we'll talk about it obviously on the podcast. There'll be a morning grind question or two around betting like there is for NBA. But yeah, very excited. Set it to record. I don't think I'll get up tomorrow. And like, okay, I love baseball and I love opening day baseball, but I'm not getting up at 6 o'clock in the morning to watch one game. So I'm just being fully honest. I will say, like, I am very excited for the 28th. I'll watch baseball all day. I mean, we got 1 o'clock games, 3 o'clock games. Like, I'll sit in the office. I'll have the TV on. I'll have the screen going. Yeah. And, like, I'll watch baseball all day. And, I mean, I'll watch baseball Friday night. And I'll watch baseball throughout the weekend. I mean, so I'm just I'm not getting up at 6 o'clock in the morning. And day baseball is like one of my favorite things, but 6 o'clock in the morning baseball, I don't know about that. So I'm gonna pass on that. I will say I did bet Tyler Glasnow's over 6.5 strikeouts, and I am very much on team under when it comes to strikeouts the first part of the season, for the first couple weeks anyway. Very much on team under because usually it's like inflated numbers. I like this one. He looked really good in spring training. The velocity is there. His Statcast data and stuff like that looks fantastic. And the Padres are one of the best rotations in baseball, but their bottom half of the lineup looks awful. So I think Glasnow has the opportunity to dominate the bottom half of this lineup. And he struck out 8 and 70 pitches without allowing a hit against the Giants in his last spring training start. And spring training, but good things from Glasnow. And when he's healthy, I'll put him as a top 5 pitcher. I think when Glasnow is healthy, fully healthy, and his stuff is working, he's a top 5 pitcher. So I took his over strikeouts. So I am, I'll be sweating that when I wake up. I'll be like, that'd be the first thing I check.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And it's plus money too, which was the thing. Cause I was like, that's probably the right number, but to get it at plus money, over 6.5, I think that's a really solid bet. I was digging into some of his stuff, just thinking along the same lines as you before we were jumping on here. And noticed that his first start last year, he only went 4 1/3 innings, but he struck out 8 in his first start of the 23 season as well. So like you said, I mean, just one of the best whiff rates in the game. He's legitimately a top end pitcher. Great trade by the Dodgers to pick him up. I mean, what an offseason for them. They look like a serious juggernaut that's going to be a problem for years to come here.
Yeah. Do you think on DraftKings and FanDuel they start taking away the 10 o'clock baseball games like they have done with NBA? That'd be interesting. Yeah. No, I agree with you. I hope they don't either, but I wouldn't be shocked if we start seeing some slates like that where if there's like one or two late games, they just kind of leave those off the slate. And the reason I bring this up is because I do think the Dodgers are going to win a lot of people money this year. That lineup, the way that it is, late night hammer, expensive lineup, I'm sure, DFS wise. So I feel like they're going to win a lot of people tournaments. So yeah, I hope they don't either. I mean, you're on the West Coast, so you're like, who cares?
Yeah, that's if like they part lose. Of my edge, like being up for the late games. And like, I will say the one hope that I have why they don't is that there's not necessarily the late scratches that there are in NBA,
right,
where it's going to be one guy, if anything, that gets scratched, and you can pretty much just do a global swap to whoever the replacement is. So it's a much easier process than NBA. One guy gets ruled out and it changes the entire slate. So MLB is a little bit friendlier in that regard.
Yeah, I agree. So I hope they leave them. I love watching baseball when I'm like editing the podcast and stuff. So I mean, that's when I watch baseball the most, really, is when the kids are sleeping, the wife's sleeping, I can have both screens going and enjoy some baseball there. So, all right. And listen, we're one of the best podcasts out there for baseball. I'm just going to say it. Oh, yeah. You know, basketball, a lot of stuff changes throughout the day. We get you prepped for baseball. Like this show has been outstanding for baseball for the last 8 years. And if you don't play DFS baseball or bet baseball, you gotta hang out. We're going to have some fun this year for baseball. So, all right. Oh, Derek says he did not have fun sweating Luka's 10th rebound. I didn't either. 4 seconds to go in the game. I had already marked that off on my sheet as a loss. So Spurs missed a shot with like 4 seconds. Luka grabbed the rebound, got his 10, got his triple-double. I had both of those. Houston covered. Van Vliet, we got the squad ride. So, yeah. I didn't get his double-double. I did the sidecar double-double. I was like, if he gets his assist, he's definitely going to score. He just shot terrible tonight. So, but anyway, good night so far betting. I think I'm 9-2 right now. Denver, any Denver -4, any Denver to win. I have a parlay with, I took the 5 favorites tonight in the NBA. I don't ever do that, Keith. I don't ever like do like a 6-7-5, 5-6-7 like parlay for basketball. But I looked at this slate and like when we got done breaking it down last night, I was like, this is a very lopsided, straightforward, take the 5 money lines, and I think it was like almost 4x. I like that one. I jumped on the favorite, so I need Denver to show up. I have them -4 too, so they need to show up. All right, 8 games, lots to talk about. No back-to-backs. What is going on? NBA scheduling finally getting there. So, but yeah, no back-to-backs here on this slate, which is great. But my injury report is loaded.
Yeah.
So, Miami at Cleveland is where we get started. And hey, we have some injuries in this one. 202.5 total. Cleveland, a 2.5-point favorite. Butler, questionable. Hero out. Jovic, questionable. Love out. Richardson out. Robinson out. On the Cleveland side, Mitchell, Mobley, Strus, and Wade out. We're going to start here with Miami. Jimmy Butler matters because now Duncan Robinson's out too. So if Butler sits, we're going to see a big usage bump for Rozier. We're going to see Hawkes play more. We're going to see Martin play. You hate the spot. You hate the Cleveland matchup. But you like the potential minutes and usage for these guys if Butler sits. If Butler plays, it might be a situation I stay away from outside of maybe playing some Hawkes or like Caleb Martin on the cheaper side and just hoping they run into 35 minutes here with Robinson out.
Yeah, so the Butler thing is huge, like you mentioned. It will depend on that greatly for me, whether I have a bunch of exposure to Miami or maybe even consider skipping this game because the matchup against Cleveland is not great. But if Jimmy is out along with Hero and Robinson and Love, like you have to take a look at some of these guys. We just saw Bam dominate, and he's been putting up massive numbers here recently without Jimmy. The price tag is adjusted on Bam, so I struggle to get to him, even if Jimmy is out. But I think guys like Rozier that you mentioned could see a huge usage bump. Hawkes has been playing a ton of minutes. Caleb Martin, even when he's come off the bench, has been seeing around like 30 minutes. Could be mid-30s if Jimmy is out again. And then Highsmith is the other guy who it's never comfortable rostering him because he can be out there for 30 minutes and not do a ton. But I think the minutes would be pretty secure. He's only 4,100 if Butler was out. Jovic matters for him too. And I'm not sure how many minutes Jovic would play in that situation. We've seen him start and play like low 20s. So it gets a little dicey with the Jovic and Highsmith guys, but I think Hawkes would be super safe. Martin would be super safe. And Rozier, I'd feel really good about the usage. So even in a tough matchup, I would definitely make sure to roster him.
I think Highsmith needs Jovic to be out. Or Butler, he needs one of those two guys to be out to get the minutes that you're kind of looking for from him. Yeah. So I think that's an interesting situation to just pay attention to. I will say, though, Keith, like on the DFS perspective of like Miami here, if Butler does get ruled out and Miami starts to become chalk in this spot, could be a good opportunity to fade and play like the tournament side of this one and like the game theory side, like saying, hey, this is a 202 total. Cleveland's great defensively. Both of these teams play really slow. So maybe I'm like taking the underweight approach in tournaments if Miami starts to get popular, Butler sits. This isn't facing like Washington,
Right. I mean, as far as game environments go, I think it's among the worst on the slate. Like, there's a couple of good ones where we have a couple of fast-paced teams like Utah, Oklahoma City. I think Sacramento, Toronto is really strong. Even Milwaukee, Boston, like, depending on who plays in that game, that could be really competitive. So even though it's not the fastest-paced game, just the competitive nature of two really good teams going at it, I'm not in love with this game environment. So, like I said, I'm really only interested if Butler sits.
And then the Cleveland side here, same kind of suspects who have been out. So the pricing is definitely adjusted to them being out, like Garland 7,800. LeVert is 7,100. LeVert had a monster game the other night. And again, he was facing Indiana, like pace up spot. This game's going to be slow paced. I think I keep going back and I haven't checked yet, but if Niang's at 10.5 points, we talked about him on the podcast the other day. I wouldn't mind going back to like his point prop here, but he has to keep shooting very efficiently to get there too. So if it goes up over 10.5, I don't think I love it. So I'm checking right now. I haven't checked that one, but what are your thoughts here on Cleveland?
Yeah, tough spot for Cleveland too. The injury situation is obviously great. I would say Garland and Allen have been a little disappointing when all of Mitchell, Mobley, and Strus are out. Like they just they haven't found the ceilings that I expected them to find. And this has been in much better matchups. Like just going back to that Indiana matchup in their last game, neither one of them really got there. It was LeVert that was the guy that smashed and you needed to have in tournaments. So I don't think I'm chasing Allen and Garland in this spot. I'd be fine going back to LeVert. Niang is still cheap enough. I think you can definitely take some shots there. Okoro is probably priced appropriately now for his role without the with the injured guys who have already been out a couple of times. Sam Merrill is interesting. Like you just need a hot shooting night from him. He's 4,200. He's probably going to play mid 20s minutes. You need him to make 4 or 5 threes to get there. He certainly has that capability. And then Craig Porter Jr., like, I don't know what to do with this guy because if he plays 20 minutes, I want exposure to him at 3,500. But we've seen him in this situation. He played 7 minutes in that Indiana game. So it's really tough to click on him. I think we probably end up with enough value where you don't have to worry about it. But LeVert's certainly my favorite play. I'd go to Niang and Merrill next.
We should also – okay, Niang's point prop, by the way, is 10.5. I took the over on that just now.
Nice.
He's been scoring more consistently here with all these guys out. So I'm gonna keep riding that. I've hit that a couple times here recently. We should note his suspension is over. Tristan Thompson has come back and he's played 15 and 14 minutes. I don't know how much more they really extend him or if they extend him at all, but that could potentially hurt somebody minutes wise. I mean, I think there's still enough people out where it doesn't matter too much. I don't think I want to play him unless we do get like a role, like unless they announce, hey, Tristan Thompson's minutes are going to be increased to like 20 in this game. Because at 20 minutes at 3,100, I think I would actually play some Tristan Thompson. But I just wanted to like mention it because I didn't mention it the other day that he had returned. So wanted to make people aware of like that situation. So. All right, moving on. Much better game here. We got Indiana at Detroit, 233 total. Pacers a 9-point favorite. Mathurin out, McDermott questionable. Grimes, Stewart, and Thompson out. Taj Gibson and Fontecchio questionable for Detroit. We'll talk about that situation in a minute. Going to the Pacers, great spot for Indiana here. They get a fantastic matchup against Detroit. My problem that I was struggling here with the Pacers is like since Halliburton and Siakam have started playing together, really haven't seen many ceiling games from either one of them. And I was kind of in the boat. Like I really thought Siakam was going to increase like his scoring and everything with Halliburton. And it just hasn't happened. So like we've seen Miles Turner go for some 40 plus point games. Siakam recently had like a 50 point game. But like on a nightly basis, we're not seeing a ton of ceiling here. We're kind of seeing ceiling from like the second unit. Like McConnell has had some upside here recently. Nesmith, since moving into the starting lineup, has been, you know, somewhat consistent. He has like 30 plus point upside. What are we doing with the Pacers in this phenomenal matchup against the Pistons?
Yeah, I really don't understand the Halliburton Siakam thing. Like, it seems like they should fit really well together, and just feed off of each other, and you think that they would both get elevated. That has not been the case. Halliburton's decline has kind of coincided with the rise of TJ McConnell as well. So I'm with you. Like, McConnell is playable off the bench. He's still only 4,500. He's not going to play a ton of minutes, but he is so good per minute. Like, he comes in and he's chucking. Like, it's what I think McConnell is as big of an impact on Halliburton's usage as anything else. When Nembhard was the guy coming off the bench, like as the second unit guy, it wasn't like Halliburton still had all the usage. Now he's kind of yielding to McConnell when he comes in. So as long as McConnell is in that role, I'm probably off of Halliburton. I'd rather save the money and go down to Siakam if I was chasing ceiling from one of those guys. I think Miles Turner is a solid play. We've seen Detroit struggle with big men, a good rebounding spot for him. He's not the best rebounder, but he, like, I think this is a plus matchup for Miles Turner. I like the Nesmith call. I'm on board with that. He doesn't have the best ceiling in the world, but minutes should be there. He's 5K. I can get on board with that. But as crazy it is to say, I think McConnell is my favorite player.
Yeah, I think Turner's probably my favorite play. But again, like he's not a huge rebounder. He has rebounded really well against Detroit this season, though. He's like averaging 9.7 rebounds in three matchups, 43 fantasy points on average here. So, I don't know if I necessarily want to disagree with you. I think TJ McConnell is super interesting here, even with his, like, his 20-minute role. You're just, if he shoots bad, you're in trouble. But I mean, in tournaments, that's the risk you're kind of taking, right? Detroit situation is super interesting here. I mean, you really want to attack the Indiana Pacers with like good big men. That is like Siakam doesn't play defense. So you really want to attack this team with like good big men. And that is a problem now with Thompson out. Stewart's out. Fontecchio is questionable, and like he is, it's a toe injury for him, and he missed the game the other night. So, what are we doing with the Detroit Pistons here?
I have to pull up the game flow because Duren is the first guy that comes to mind, and I know they got smashed in that Boston game, and that's probably why Wiseman played 26 minutes. I'm looking at that real quick because this is. Yeah, Wiseman played the entire fourth quarter, and Duren did not play at all. So that was definitely blowout related. I like Duren as a player, and I agree with your thoughts that Siakam doesn't scare me. Indiana doesn't rebound a ton. I think Duren is the go-to guy here. You can always play Cade, but I think I do prefer Duren. The like four position is really interesting with Stewart and Thompson out. If Fontecchio misses as well, like they get, they're super thin there. I'm trying to think who they would even plug in. I'm sure we're projecting for Fontecchio to start right now. Is it Evan Fournier again as the guy who steps into the starting lineup if Fontecchio is out also? Like, I don't know. I don't feel comfortable with that. So I suppose that situation doesn't matter as much as I thought it might. But somebody cheap is going to be stepping into a huge role here. So I still think you can chase like Sasser. Sasser's price is up a little bit. So Amude might be my preferred cheap guy to go to, but I still think you can chase cheap stuff here on Detroit. It's tough to nail down the rotation. Obviously we're waiting on Fontecchio too.
Well, the other night, the second half. So Stewart got hurt in the first half of that game. Like he went to the locker room at halftime and didn't come back. And they ended up starting Taj Gibson in the second half of that game. Well, now we're looking at Taj Gibson questionable as well. And Fontecchio was out for that one. So it's really tough to say what we'll be looking at here.
Tosan, who they just signed. I can't say his last name, but.
No, I'm not even going to try. But he's the checked guy that played in. Yeah, he checked in for Taj Gibson, and he played from when he checked in for Taj Gibson. He played 6 minutes in that, and then he played all but 18 seconds of the fourth quarter. So maybe he draws a random start here if Taj Gibson and Fontecchio sit. Umid, he started for Fontecchio. We're trying to figure out if with Stewart out. Yeah, we're trying to figure out that situation. Fournier is small. The thing is, like, you have Siakam. You have Siakam and Turner. So
I need some size here.
My random question is, do we think Duren could potentially play the four against Siakam and they start both Duren and Wiseman here? No, I didn't mean to interrupt you. I was just going to say, I think you really are going to have to react to the starting lineup here for Detroit.
Yeah, for sure. Like, there's going to be somebody cheap that's in a huge role here. I would guess Amudie starts again for Fontecchio, but it's like Stewart is the guy. If Fontecchio and Stewart are out, then they're going to need another guy in addition to Amudie. So. Yeah, it might be Tosan as the guy who jumps in the starting lineup. I think Fontecchio is super interesting if he does go in this. He's been playing huge minutes here recently. So if Fontecchio is in there, I do like him at 5,700. Didn't mention that, but wanted to get it out.
Yeah, we know Stewart's out, Josh. That's why we were trying to figure out that situation. I think it's just tough right now. I think it's going to come down to Fontecchio and Taj Gibson play. If both of those guys are out, we're going to see somebody cheap in the starting lineup, whether it be Fournier, Tosun, somebody is going to have to start here. Because like Sasser, maybe they go a little smaller and Sasser starts and they try to like Amude plays against Siakam. Maybe, I don't know.
Is small though. Like that, yeah. I don't think that's enough size. Because Sasser's like 6'2", and I don't think Amudier is over like 6'5".
Fournier is not a big guy.
Right, which is why I'm kind of leaning Tosun. If Fontecchio's out, I think the guy is Tosun. Amudier is 6'6".
Taj would have to be out too, right? Because they would start Taj Gibson.
I can't imagine that, but I suppose that's what they did in the last game. So you can't rule it out as a possibility.
But I don't think he'd play a lot.
Taj can't play 28 minutes, can he? I don't think he can play much more than 20 at this stage of his career.
Troy Brown, question mark? Maybe.
He's not big either. He's another 6'6 guy.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Interesting spot. And going back to like the Siakam situation, like maybe this is a Siakam spot because they honestly don't really have anybody. Who's going to guard him? We kind of like buried the lead here. This is an amazing spot for Jalen Duren. Definitely a top end type of play in this spot. I think this is like a 15-15 type of spot for him. So very interested in Duren and always like Cade if he's going to get low ownership in this spot. I think this is one of those situations where Cade has had some tough matchups here recently against Miami. And now gets a much better matchup here. So that's my thoughts on Detroit. Anything else you want to add here?
No, I think we covered it.
All right, Milwaukee at Boston. Great basketball game. 223 in a total in this one. Boston, 9-point favorite. Giannis questionable. I think that is one of the interesting things on this slate. Brown is questionable. Hauser is questionable. And Drew is questionable. So we'll see how that kind of plays out here. Let's go Milwaukee first. Even in a tough spot, if Giannis sits, I think we are definitely looking at Lillard in this spot if Giannis is out. Middleton came back the other night and played 25 minutes. He shot really well, hit a good shooting night. What are we doing with the Bucks here?
Bobby Portis shot really well. Speaking of good shooting nights, like Bobby Portis was on fire in that game. If Giannis is out, like obviously you're firing up a bunch of these guys. Tough matchup against Boston, but Giannis does so much for this team. Like you have to have interest, no matter the matchup. If Giannis is in there, which I kind of expect him to be, I don't think Milwaukee can move much. Like they're too far behind Boston to catch him at this point, and I'm pretty sure they're basically locked into the two seed. So I don't know. I can't see them resting Giannis, but I suppose it wouldn't be the biggest surprise in the world. I don't have a ton of interest in Milwaukee if Giannis is in there just because of the matchup against Boston. I always play some Giannis. You can always play some Lillard, but with Middleton coming back, everybody else is kind of just a little overpriced. If Giannis is out, it's a whole different story. You definitely go back to Portis. Lillard would be an excellent spend up. I think you could play Brook Lopez in that situation, even Malik Beasley or potentially Patrick Beverley, depending on how they work the lineup there. Jay Crowder, we saw play decent minutes, 32 minutes for him in that last game without Giannis. So everybody's in play if Giannis is out. I don't have a ton of interest if Giannis is in there.
I think Giannis is like legit questionable. I don't know if it's necessarily rest. I mean, this hamstring thing has, it sounds like it's been a thing for the last few weeks. And like, he's been like the first guy off the floor a lot in like blowouts and stuff. So Doc Rivers is a smart man. He knows that these regular season games don't really matter that much right now where they're at. So I think you nailed everything there. Like, Giannis out, play Lillard and Middleton and Portis. If Giannis plays, I'm probably out on Milwaukee if Giannis plays.
Boston they're one game up on the Cavs for the second seed, but I don't think they really care too much whether they're the second or third seed there.
Well, I mean, home court, if you are playing the Cavs, is nice, so.
Yeah.
Boston side. We'll start talking playoff situations a lot more in like 2 weeks, I feel like. But it's good to like start bringing it up a little bit here, just in general. Going to the Boston side of this game, a lot of potential people sitting here. Brown, Drew, Hauser. If everybody plays, I don't necessarily have a ton of interest because like some of these Boston players are priced up for like people resting here recently. Derek White's 7,500. Pritchard, who's, you know, had some good games here recently, he's 5K. So I would need people to start getting ruled out for me to be interested in Boston.
Yeah, if Brown, Holiday, and Hauser play, I think the only guy you can even consider rostering is Tatum, maybe Porzingis as well. But Brown's price has shot way up. Like, he was under 8K just a week ago or so. So that price has come way up. Like, Hauser and Pritchard have gotten elevated, and it's because they've been resting guys. And Boston is, like, basically locked into the one seed, so they're going to continue to rest guys. It wouldn't surprise me if Holiday or Brown sit just as – means of resting veterans down the stretch. Hauser is a legit injury, so we'll see if he can make it back. But I don't have a ton of interest here unless a bunch of guys, like multiple guys, get ruled out. I think Derek White, if Brown and Holiday are out, I think you have to consider Derek White again after his performance last game. I know Tatum was the one that was out there, but awesome game from White, triple double, I believe it was. So good for him. He's playable at that price if we start getting guys out. I have interest in Pritchard as well if all three of them are out. Even though he's 5K, I still think the role and his per minute production is solid enough. He can pay that price off.
Oh, I'm definitely interested in Pritchard if these guys are out. Like, yep. No doubt about it. Price, like the 5K price tag was more of like, hey, if everybody plays, you're not playing Pritchard at 5K, exactly. Kind of, yep, thing.
So. Totally agree.
Sacramento at Toronto, 231.5 total in this one. Sacramento, 9.5-point favorite. Herder and Lyles out. Barnes, Boucher, Poeltl, and Quickly out for Toronto. Toronto's been rough. They're not playing great defense. They're playing super fast. I feel like they're just trying to run and finish the season. somewhat joking, right? Like, I really do think they're, you know, a team that is struggling overall right now defensively. What do we like here for the Kings?
What's not to like? Awesome matchup against Toronto. The Kings play fast, so like there's a little bit of blowout risk here, but really solid total. We've been seeing lower totals here recently, especially this week, like coupling like the low 200s. So to see a total up around 230 again is nice. I have a ton of interest in Sacramento. It's like, Sabonis and Fox, I think, are the guys you need to be worried about the blowout for. A guy like Malik Monk, I still think he gets enough run, even in like a 20-25 point game. He's going to be out there in the fourth quarter, I think. He may not necessarily close like the last 5-6 minutes if it's that far out of hand, but I think he gets his fourth quarter rotation regardless. So Malik Monk is the guy who's jumping off the page for me here. Toronto's an awful defense since they turned over their roster. Now they have a bunch of guys injured as well, so I'm highly interested in Sabonis, Fox, and Monk. I think that you can look at Keon Ellis as well. I don't know that I fully trust the role, but we've seen it for four consecutive games now where he's played at least 27 minutes. He's still only 3,700, so I don't love that he's point guard eligible. I wish he had shooting guard or small forward, but he's certainly playable at 3,700 if he's going to hang on to that role with minutes in the low 20s. And now that Herder is out, I don't see why he wouldn't. That also makes Monk's minutes super secure. Is the fact that Herter is out, they seem to be down on Harrison Barnes a little bit. Like, his minutes have been all over the place. So Monk and Ellis are the two cheap guys. If you're worried about the blowout for Sabonis and Fox, I'd look at Monk and Ellis.
Yeah, and like you mentioned, we already have the Herter news here. So on the Hard Rock app, for me in Florida, we don't have the steals plus blocks for Ellis yet. Look at this one. If it's like 1.5, take the over.
Good call.
Bad, like, Toronto going to be shorthanded here. You're not going to get the normal Toronto team. This dude is very active defensively. Very active defensively. Herter's out. He started the second half for Herter. He played all the overtime the other night against Memphis. Ellis probably plays 28 to 32 minutes in this game. So I really like him in this spot at 3,700. He's one of my favorite value plays on the slate. And again, I'm going to be checking this in the morning, hoping they put this one up. But if we don't see it, check and see if your book has it, if you're in a state where you can bet. Or check and see if Prize Picks or Underdog has this projection, and you can take the more or less on this one. So,
what if I told you it was 2.5 plus 120? Would you have interest at 2.5 or a half?
Steals and blocks?
Steals and blocks, yeah.
I think I'd take it. I think I'd take the gamble. Too. Like knowing how, like, how many injuries, like, Quickley's out now too. Like, he doesn't come off the floor in a blowout, right? Like, they give him the blowout run. A little bit of the blowout run, at least, right? So getting all these, like, yeah. I mean, he's hit that line in four straight, and Herter's out again. So, I think I'd take it. He's active defensively, man. Look at his steals and blocks. Like, he's had 4 or 5 in 18 minutes before. Like, yeah. I mean, I wish this line was up for me. I think – it'll probably be up in the morning, but I'll definitely jump on that one. So, So I really like your call on Monk. I really like Ellis. He's one of my favorite value plays on the slate. I already talked about that. I think it's a huge, like, stock spot for him. So I don't know, have FanDuel pricing in front of me, but I think Ellis is really interesting on FanDuel too, where they value the stocks a little bit more. I like the Monk call. Sabonis is a guy that is just as consistent as they come. If this game stays remotely close, Sabonis probably goes for 50-plus fantasy points, probably closer to like 60-plus fantasy points.
Yeah.
So Sabonis is, I want to say, one of the safer options on the slate, just a really good spot for him overall. Worry a little bit about the game staying close. But, I mean, going to the other side, Sacramento is not the greatest defensive team in the world. So looking at Toronto here, no Quickley, no Barrett. What are we doing with the Raptors here?
Oh, yeah, it's a mess. I don't even know where to begin, to be honest. Kelly Olynyk, I guess I'll just start at the top. Kelly Olynyk has been sharing too much time with Jontay Porter. I actually prefer saving the money and going down to Jontay Porter. You have Sabonis in the game. Like, I don't trust Kelly Olynyk in mid-20s minutes. Like, 26 minutes is what he's been playing here recently. Let me save the money and go down to Porter. The other guy, like, Grady Dick's going to play minutes. Agbaji's going to play a ton of minutes. Neither of those two guys has done much with their minutes here recently. Nwora is the guy who kind of popped off in the last game. I don't trust that he's going to see mid-20s minutes again is the only thing. So Bruce Brown has been hit or miss. It's not a fun rotation to try to target, first of all. And then it's hard to trust the guys to produce when they do get the minutes. So I like the spot against Sacramento. They're a fast-paced team. It's a spot that I want exposure to. I don't know who the guy is going to be is the biggest problem. As weird as it is to say, Porter might be the guy I feel safest with. 4K center. He's a good per minute guy. I expect him to keep getting those like 22 to 24 minutes. I think that's where I'm looking first. I think Gary Trent is certainly in play. He's up to 6,100. You need him to shoot it well. He's capable of smashing at that price, but it's going to be super volatile. Brown, you need to do a little bit of everything, which he can. Grady Dick, you need him to do a bunch of scoring. I don't know. I don't have a favorite outside of Porter, to be honest. If I had to pick one, I'd probably go Gary Trent, but don't feel great about that.
If you're new to the Morning Grind, welcome. If you're a listener that has been around for a while, just listen, close your ears. As much as I hate to say it, I love the spot for Gary Trent. Just absolutely love this spot. You know, he is my morning grind game bet today over 19 and a half points, and we'll touch on it more. But you don't get better shooting matchups in Sacramento. We talk about this all the time. This game's at home in Toronto, potentially staying close. This is just, I mean, Sacramento is like the worst team in the NBA. They allow the highest true shooting percentage in the NBA. Gary Trent is going to shoot 20 plus times in this game. You know, you look at some of the games recently, like Portland 26, Phoenix 22, Orlando. I mean, those games weren't that necessarily that close. Orlando's a good defensive team. This game's not going to be slow. This game's going to be fast. Gary Trent's going to get up shots. I was really sad that his 3-point prop was 3.5. I don't feel good about that one, but I feel, you know, good about his point prop here. So, yeah, gosh, man. Anybody that listens to the podcast, like I said, you already know how much I don't like playing this guy, but now we're taking Quickly off the floor too. Quickly is a 15 to 20 shot per night guy. And now that like he's out for this game, the usage for Gary Trent is just going to be through the roof. I tried to run Court IQ and there's just so many people out and there's so many people that are not with this team anymore. It's so hard to like run the full Court IQ, but I could promise you one thing. With Barnes off, RJ Barrett off, Quickly off, you're going to see a huge bump here for Gary Trent. And I personally feel like he shoots 20-plus times against one of the worst shooting defenses in the NBA. So I like him a lot, and I hate it. I like him a lot, and I hate it. But, I think the tournament play here is Nwora. I think Nwora is the tournament play. Because I feel like if he can get like 25 minutes in this type of matchup, he could do really good here. And he's under 4K, so I think Nwora is the potential play. He's at, again, I'm probably leaving some people on that are still here or not here and stuff, but just kind of a quick overview. He's around 28% usage when we take all these guys off the floor. Trent's around 29%. And Flynn has a big usage as well. So I like Nwora. Minutes are going to be the biggest thing for Nwora. Anything else? I think we covered a lot of that one.
Yep. I think we can move on.
All right. There we go. Derek says Sabonis over 0.5 threes. Probably not. Probably not. Olynyk's three prop is interesting for what it's worth. Like, he just hasn't been shooting a ton of them. It's at 1.5. Again, this team is a team that I love 3-point props against. Someone's going to have a good shooting night. Whether it be Bruce Brown, Gary Trent, Grady Dick, someone's going to have a good shooting night. Utah at OKC, 233 total. Thunder, a 14-point favorite here. Clarkson out. Markkanen out. Collins questionable. His ego's hurt. Okay. I don't ever want to like root for anybody not to be hurt, but you don't want to get hurt getting dunked on. So I really hope that he's okay. It was like a minor concussion, they said. So, I mean, we'll see, but we already have news that Markkanen is going to be out for a rest day here. They're being careful with him coming back. I think he's under contract for multiple more years. So no reason to get him hurt here for Utah. What do we like here for the Jazz? I know a lot of it's going to depend on whether or not Collins plays or not, but I feel like Taylor Hendricks is going to play good minutes regardless. OKC, bad rebounding team. Is this a spot we like Hendricks and Kessler? What are you doing with the Jazz?
Yeah, I'm interested in Utah, even if Collins plays. Oklahoma City plays really fast. They're a top 10 pace, 8th in pace right now. This is a good up-tempo game. Also, I think the fact that Markkanen and Clarkson are both out, like there's already a bunch of usage that has opened up. So I'll do it first. If Collins is in, I'm interested in targeting rebounds with Collins. Like, I don't love the 7K price, but as long as he starts at the five and not next to Kessler, I'm interested in Collins. If Kessler starts, I'm interested in Kessler. And I'm interested in Hendricks in either scenario. Even like 5,100. I don't love that price tag, But the matchup, I think, for me, does put Hendricks in play. If they start all three of Hendricks, Collins, and Kessler, maybe it's a little bit less interest. But I kind of think Sensabaugh and Chris Dunn start. That's what they did last time in this situation when Clarkson and Markkanen were out. They needed more scoring in that second unit, so they started Chris Dunn, and they brought Sexton off the bench. I think that raises the ceiling for both Keyonte George and Colin Sexton. So assuming that that's the lineup that they go with, where they start Chris Dunn, I have a ton of interest in Keyonte George, whether Collins is in or out, and I have some interest in Colin Sexton as well. He's just a little bit more expensive, but I like this spot for Keyonte George a lot, as long as Colin Sexton isn't starting next to him. If Collins is out, I think you have to be looking at Walker Kessler. Awesome rebounding matchup, as you mentioned. I would have a ton of interest in Hendricks as well in that spot. I don't think I'm chasing Sensabaugh or Chris Dunn, even if he's starting.
Three things you can count on the morning grind, just in general this year. Pick on Sacramento shooting, play Keyonte George, and play AU. There you go.
It's worked out well.
We're doing it. I don't have anything else to add on the Jazz side. Going to the Thunder side, I mean, I'm seeing this as a 15-point favorite on some books now. You worry a lot about this game staying close. If it does stay close, SGA and Holmgren probably smash in this game. I don't know if it necessarily stays close. How are you approaching a game that's very lopsided like this?
Yeah, I mean, it's tough to spend all the way up to a superstar like SGA in a matchup that he's might only play 28 minutes. Like, he gets all of those points because he's a guy that typically plays like 34 to 36 minutes. Even if he's only playing 30, he's probably not going to find that 60 point ceiling, which is what you need at his over 10K price tag. I'm not saying I won't play him. It's so hard to trust that that Utah can keep this game close enough where he gets full run and can absolutely smash. He'll be incredible when he's out there. Utah sucks on defense. It's just whether he gets his full run and plays his full allotment of minutes. I think Jalen Williams is cheap enough where you can take some shots on that. And even if he doesn't play 35 minutes, he has a chance to put up 45 DK points, which would be just fine at 6,900. So I don't hate Jalen Williams. I don't know that I'm chasing blowout stuff. If I did, I'd look for high usage guys. And I think that's probably Isaiah Joe. It's 3,400. He's a guy who's not afraid to chuck. If they're up 25, he might get 15 shots up in the last 10 minutes of the game or something like that. So if I'm chasing the blowout angle, it's probably Isaiah Joe for me.
Or Cason Wallace. Cason Wallace was the blowout angle for me too. Their recent blowout against Memphis, he had 14 shots, played 27 minutes, which is anywhere from about 5 to 8 minutes extra. So Wallace would be somebody if you think this game's going to blow out. But it would only be like attacking those guys in very top-heavy large field tournaments.
Yeah.
All right, Clippers at Portland, 215 total. Clippers 11.5-point favorite. Mann and Powell, questionable. Westbrook out. Portland, Brogdon out. Sharp out. Williams out. Grant doubtful. Tybalt questionable. Going to the Clippers here first. Both the point guard situation, kind of guard situation in general, kind of questionable here with Powell and Mann questionable. If they sit, I think we have to fire up Bones Highland, right? Both of those guys out. Bones Highland probably plays 30 minutes, if not more, in this game. And I don't know if he's necessarily a guy that comes off the floor in a blowout. So, I mean, outside of the big three, that's kind of what I'm looking at here for the Clippers.
Yeah, I don't know if I trust it to be Bones Highland, to be the guy. Like, they've introduced PJ Tucker into the rotation at times. And that was with Kawhi and Paul George out. No, Harden is the one that missed, and it was still Tucker one of those games. Like, I hear you, I want it to be Bones because he's obviously way more productive than guys like PJ Tucker and Coffee is the other guy who could potentially get the run. So yeah, I want it to be Bones. I would certainly take shots on him. I just don't know that I fully trust that it is Bones in that situation. If it is, he's a fantastic play. Also the blowout angle, I think you could play Bones chasing a blowout in this spot too. So I don't hate the call either way. As far as spend ups, I'm just what we talked about with SGA. Like, first of all, I don't know which one it's going to be. That's always the problem here with the Clippers. And then you have the blowout to worry about as well, where they might only play 28 to 30 minutes. And it's going to be really tough for them to get there. So I probably don't chase Kawhi or Harden or PG. And Bones might be my favorite play on the Clippers side altogether here. So I think Norm Powell is interesting if he goes, but I'm with you on Bones. I think you can chase him.
The other spin to that is if we do get news that Powell and Mann both sit, it could be a rebounding and assist bump to Harden. So Harden would be on triple-double watch for me. He'd have the ball a lot in his hands in this game, and he'd be somebody I feel like would have triple-double upside. So I think I'd prefer Harden over Kawhi and George if those two sit. I think if everybody plays, I'd probably go to Kawhi over those two, but I mean, it could be anybody. It's impossible. Aaron says, fun Minnesota game. Just got out. Minnesota very thin against a deep, full Denver team. Keith and I were talking about it pre-show, just how good Minnesota is, and it doesn't matter who's been in and out. They just play good basketball every single night. Portland here. Portland's tough, man. I mean, Bayton, he keeps playing minutes. Ayton had a really good game against Chicago the other night. I could see Ayton kind of beating up on Zubac here. What are we doing with Portland with all these guys out?
Yeah, really tough rotation to nail down. First of all, Jeremy Grant being out, I think that means Banton still has a role. Scoot Henderson, we saw move into the starting lineup, and Banton still played 33 minutes. They said Scoot wasn't on a minutes limit, but then he did not close the game. They pulled him midway through the fourth quarter. He finished with 30 minutes. It felt kind of like a minutes limit at 30, because as soon as he hit the 30-minute mark, they took him out of the game. So, like, Scoot and Banton are the two guys that I'm looking to target. I didn't mean to bury Ayton. Ayton has been absolutely incredible here recently. I Zubac on the floor, like, Ayton should play 35 to 38 minutes in the spot. So I do like Ayton. But the guards I'm interested in too. Assuming that Scoot starts again, I think he'll probably be looking at like 32 minutes at the most in this spot. I think he's still playable at that price at 5,400. I think Banton might be my preferred target just because I think if there is a blowout, like, Banton doesn't come off the floor in a blowout. And if he plays 35 minutes, he can absolutely smash. So Banton might be my favorite play even over Ayton. But Banton and Scoot both in play for me. I don't think I need to touch anything else like with the other wings. I'm not trying to figure out Kamara and Murray and Walker. Like, those, I'll probably just leave those guys alone today. But I do have interest in Banton and Henderson in addition to Ayton. You can play Simons if you want. I think there's a ceiling there, but Ayton is kind of taken away from him here recently.
Yeah, it was a really interesting game the other night. Their rotation was really interesting because, like, Duop Reith, like, had a monster fourth quarter, and they left him in when they brought Scoot Henderson out. And that's like Ayton checked in for Henderson. They played really big. They had Jabari. Ayton, they had Reith, Ayton, and Walker closing against Chicago. And Chicago, like, had their, like, normal rotation out there outside of Bittum or whatever his name is.
I was gonna say, was Drummond on the floor with Vooch? Is that why they did that?
No.
But that was not the case.
No, they did it a little bit. They had them in the fourth quarter for like a minute or two. I forget what I was sweating. Oh, it might have been AU's points or something. That sounds about right. So I was watching and I was like,
on brand.
What is Portland doing? I was like, what are they closing with? And like, hey. I mean, it worked. They lost the game. That's what they want to do, right? Figuring out their rotation right now is really tough, just in general. But I agree with you on Banton. I really like Ayton. He's a guy that I think you can, like, consistently play right now. His rebounding and his scoring is just really high. So I think on a nightly basis, you could play him and feel pretty good about where you're at to start the night. So. All right, got two games left. We got Philadelphia at Phoenix, 220.5 total. Phoenix, a 9-point favorite. These West Coast games, high favorites here. Covington, Embiid, Melton out. Tobias questionable. Lee and Okogie still out for Phoenix. What are your thoughts here on Philadelphia?
So the Tobias Harris news, I think, is interesting, and it's I probably only have interest in Philly if he is out. If he's out, I'm looking at Tyrese Maxey and Kelly Oubre. If he's in there, like, I just, nothing really stands out to me. Like, I'm not scared of Phoenix's defense, but I'm not excited about this Philly team in any manner. Without Embiid, they haven't been a good team. So I kind of feel like Phoenix gets the best of them and blows them out, and I don't need anything here is kind of how it ends up. But with Tobias out, you can see Maxey have a ton of usage. You can see Oubre have a ton of usage. Those are really about the only two. Like, Paul Reed, I suppose you could take shots on. I don't trust him enough to want to do it on the. I think there are plenty of other plays I'd rather play on the slate. Bamba, I'm not chasing that game. Kyle Lowry is just kind of meh. He's in play because he's only 4,800, but I don't love it or anything. It's Maxey and Oubre if Harris is out. Very little else here if Harris is in.
Yeah, we saw Oubre have a really big game. His usage goes up quite a bit when you're, you know, starting to take all these guys off the floor. I have like very, very slight interest in taking some shots on Mo Bamba if he starts again. The dude is just, he's another stocks guy. Like, he's another, like, Orlando Magic, like, defensive guy that we had. He's another guy that could rack up the stocks. And, I mean, he does it in a hurry, too. Like, so, I don't know, like you said, chasing-wise, I don't know if I necessarily want to chase either. But he is a guy that can, like, rack up stocks quite quickly. So, and he's been, like, he's recently been starting a lot. I don't know why he didn't play as much the other night, because he played, he started against Charlotte and ended up playing, I think, like 28 minutes or something. So,
yeah, I mean, he's been starting recently, but he's just like, yeah. they're splitting the 48 minute center minutes between him and Paul Reed. And it's basically a hot hand. Like, whichever guy is playing better is the guy who's playing the minutes. So it's a bit of a guessing game.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's more of like, I think that Mo Bamba is interesting on like the stock side of things. Tournament wise, center only, hate that, but could potentially be a tournament play. Like, we should have mentioned that, like, on the East Coast, like, the first five games start at like between 7 and 8 o'clock, and then you have like a 2 hour gap. So, like, if you're behind after that, like, first initial, like, okay, first hour and a half, or you're looking at your lineups at like 9:30 and like, all right, well, this guy didn't do what I needed him to, where am I going to try to play catch up? You know, I'm not winning a tournament tonight, but all right, now I want to push towards, you know, at least trying to make a little bit of money. So, you know, that's always the late swap conundrum. FanDuel's been leaving these games off. I don't have FanDuel pulled up, but they might have even left these three 10 o'clock games off.
They probably did.
I looked before the podcast, and their slate wasn't up yet. No, they have them. So there you go. Nice. You could do it on both sites.
I don't mind when we have like six games. I don't mind like taking a couple of 10 o'clock games off, but when you make it like a 4 or 5 game slate, like they should not do that, in my opinion. So glad to see that they're back on there.
Yeah. If this was a 12 game slate and 9 games started between 7 and 8, I would really hope they would leave off those 3 games. But yeah, FanDuel, you could take advantage of trying to catch up to Mo Bamba center only over there too. So hate that. Phoenix side, what do you like here for the Suns?
Another tough team, and it's because like Beal missed a bunch of time. Booker was out for a while there. You have blowout risk here as well, so I don't know that I'm chasing. Like, certainly Durant or Booker could absolutely put up a score that you have to have on the slate. I don't know that I'm chasing it when you factor in that blowout risk as well. I don't know. I don't know what to do with these guys. First of all, it's another guessing game, just like the Clippers situation, where either one of them could go off in any game for really no rhyme or reason. So you have to figure out which one it's going to be, and then you need the game to stay close as well. So outside of 1 in 20 lineups, I don't think I'm targeting Durant or Booker all that much. I have a little bit of interest in Beal just because he's cheaper. He doesn't have the same upside as Booker and Durant do. But it's a solid matchup against Philly. They've struggled defensively since losing Embiid, obviously. I don't have a ton of interest outside of that. Maybe Nurkic, but the price has come up on him. I think it's a pretty solid spot for him. We just talked about Bamba and Reed being on the other side. I think he has to play minutes in this spot and we've seen him get 20 rebounds multiple times here of late. He's even had a 30 rebound game here recently. Yeah, earlier this month against Oklahoma City. So the rebound should be there. The minutes should be there with the bigs that Philly has. I don't love the price tag at 7,300. With Gordon back, I think Grayson Allen is too expensive. Royce O'Neal, kind of the same thing. Like, I don't love Phoenix here. I think somebody gets there. I just don't know who it's going to be. If I had to choose one guy, it's probably Beal for the price savings.
Really quickly, going back to the Philadelphia side, Tobias might miss this game. There was just I saw it on Twitter. DJ Wilson signed a 10-day contract with Philadelphia here. He was with the G League team for the Magic, I think. And I think he was drafted by the Bucks, right? Pretty sure he was drafted by the Bucks in his rookie year, but it really just hasn't kind of panned out. But I mean, that definitely makes me think Tobias could sit, just going back to our Philly conversation more than anything else, signing extra help because Tobias is actually hurt. Like, it's not, he's trying to play through the ankle, but he's actually like ankle sprained.
Philly's desperately trying to tread water until they get Embiid back, and they're trying to hang on to any playoff seating that they can. So they're certainly not tanking.
All you got to do is get to the play-in game if you have Embiid on your team. Yeah, you're the scariest team.
Legit.
You're the scariest team in the East if you get to the play-in game and you have Embiid. That's starting to get in danger a little bit for Philadelphia. So. They're in a pretty good spot, right? I think they're 8 games up, or no, they're more than that. They're 12 games up on Brooklyn for that play-in spot. So almost mathematically, right? A couple more games. Orlando locked into the playoffs tonight. I love it. They're at least playing in the play-in game. So first time since 2020. All right, we finish out the slate with Memphis at Golden State. 217 total. Golden State a 10-point favorite. Santi, questionable. Clark, Kennard, Ja, Pittman, Rose, Smart, Stevens, Zier, out. Vince, Williams, doubtful. I did it quick because it's the same people that have been out. Sante is questionable. Roster. Yeah. So Draymond and Moody, questionable for Golden State. So we'll pay attention to that news. Memphis side, Bane's back. 37 minutes the other night. You'd love to see that. Good for Memphis anyway. Like, good to see him back for Memphis's sake. What are we doing here with the Grizzlies?
Yeah, Bane is certainly the guy I'm interested in here. Trying to figure out the rest of this rotation. Derek in the chat jokes that I see Taylor Jenkins in my nightmares. Trying to do this rotation projection-wise is an absolute nightmare. So he's not wrong about that. I don't know where to go outside of Desmond Bane and Triple J, I think, is fine. I think I prefer Bane in this spot, I think you're playing one of those two guys. They should be out there as long as the game is close. I don't know if it's going to stay close, but I do think that Bane he should take over a ton of usage here. The fact that he's played 30 plus minutes in his first two games back is really good, and up to 37. Like, he was a guy who was playing 40 minutes earlier in the year before he got hurt. So I think there's even upside from that 37, but feel really good about upper 30s minutes for Bane here. As far as the rest of the rotation, I don't know. Gregory Jackson, I suppose, is a guy you can take a look at. I think his usage comes down a little bit with Bane back. A little concerned about Conchar's role as well. I think he could get there in like a rebounds assist type of game, add a couple of stocks in there.
Pro teams have millions to spend, and they don't always spend them wisely. But when it comes to a great shave, you don't have to shell out tons of cash. Harry's saw customers getting ripped off by the shaving industry with overpriced, underperforming products and decided to do something better. They found their own way to make beautifully designed razors for a fraction of the price of the other big brands, so you never wonder if you overpaid. Harry's shaving products look great, and the weighted handle makes shaving feel great too. I like to keep my beard neat, and Harry's always leaves me with a smooth yet crisp shave. Harry's quality is top-notch, thanks to German-engineered blades made in their own factory that stay sharp longer. You can get a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. And Harry's has the highest customer satisfaction in the shaving industry, plus a convenient subscription option that you can cancel at any time. Getting the best doesn't mean spending the most when you shave with Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. That's harrys.com/bluewire for a $3 trial set.
He's 4,500. I wish he was 4K is what I would say there. And then we have the point guard situation as well. I don't know exactly how many days Goodwin has left on his contract where he can be active. We've seen him active the last two, and Giroux has had pretty solid games. But if Goodwin is back, I think
he was inactive last game, right?
Goodwin was inactive last game. Yes.
Yeah.
The last two games, I believe. And Giroux played pretty decently in that last game. So I don't know. Like he's on that two-way contract and he only has so many more games that he can be active for the rest of the season. Maybe they get to that point, whatever it is, where Goodwin has enough games left, and maybe they just get a look at Giroux. So Giroux is a little interesting. I still don't know that there's enough of a role on this big of a slate.
Well, his 10-day is up. I think it's up on Thursday for Giroux. So I would assume
they get another.
He plays, and yep. Goodwin does not play in this one. So,
yep.
I like Bane. I don't know if I like him DFS wise, but I do like his point prop here. Yeah. Yep. So I've hit it the first. I'm 2-0. It's a little higher. It's 23.5, but I already hit it. Because I'm still profitable if he misses it, right? Like, he didn't shoot great the other night against Sacramento. And one of the things that I loved was he was facing Sacramento, but he was very aggressive still. Like, he hasn't missed a beat. Like, he's aggressive. He's shooting a lot. He's getting to the free throw line. So, yeah, I like Bane's point prop, but that's about it. The rest of Memphis, good luck. I mean, yeah. If you can figure out the rotation, sure. I mean, GG Jackson's price has come up. You said Conchar, he's going to play minutes. He's going to have good nights from time to time. I like Giroux, assuming that Goodwin is inactive again. But, I mean, like is a – I throw that word around too much. I have slight interest in him. Golden State side – if Draymond's out, I think it's boost to a guy like Podzi. He could potentially play a little bit more if Draymond sits. It could boost up Kuminga's production a little bit. But overall, I don't have a ton of interest in the Warriors. They've kind of just been that team for me this year where really haven't been playing them a lot.
I think Trayce Jackson-Davis is an incredible play if Draymond is out. The price is coming up, but he's had a really solid role even with Draymond in here recently. So I think you could potentially see Jackson Davis jump in the starting lineup if Draymond miss. And if he plays 28, 30 minutes, he could absolutely smash. We've seen him smash in like 24 minutes before. So I think Jackson Davis would be my first look without Draymond. I agree with you that the Pods and Kuminga both have a higher ceiling without him as well. So really, I don't have a ton of interest in Golden State unless Green misses. I think you could play Jackson Davis either way. I think he's a great play if Green is out. And I would grab some Kuminga and Pods as well. The Klay Thompson, Andrew Wiggins, Chris Paul situation. Like I'm not messing with any of those guys at this point. They're not playing enough. Steph is the ceiling guy. If you think the game stays close, if you want to run a Triple J Curry stack or a Desmond Bane Curry stack, I'm fine with that. But you'd certainly need the game to stay close for Curry to get there.
Yeah. I mean, the one thing about Golden State here is they want to win every single game. They want to definitely make the playoffs, and they're kind of on the edge right now. It's going to come down. It looks like it's going to come down to Houston, Golden State, and LA Lakers. All right, let's play the morning grind game, and then we'll get out of here. Favorite play under 5K to go 7X. Who do you got?
I'm going to go Keon Ellis, just 3,700. Awesome matchup against Toronto. You talked about his stocks, and I agree with that angle 100%. A really depleted Toronto team who should turn it over a ton. I think Keon Ellis has a bunch of upside in this spot.
I got to take my guy. I'm going to stop talking. No, I'm just kidding. I like
Ellis a lot. I was on it before you said it, but you made some great points that made it even stronger.
Yeah, I can't wait to bet. I'm really hoping. I checked a few minutes ago again to see if his stocks were up on Hard Rock and they're not up yet. But I like TJ McConnell. He was the other guy that I had written down. I think that his upside is just great. And like this question is, you're trying to find that upside play. You're trying to find that guy under 5K to go 7X. So there might be a better floor option in this range. But I think if you're trying to find that ceiling and upside just in general, you take some shots on McConnell. Over 8K to go under 5X, who's your bust today?
I think blowouts could introduce a lot of these guys into this conversation, but if some of these games stay close, you could absolutely see these guys go nuts. So it's a bit of a slippery slope here. I think the guy I'm almost certainly not playing is going to be now I'm going back and forth. One of the Phoenix guys is who I'm looking at. I think I'm off of Durant in this spot. Like I said, it's too hard to figure out whether it's going to be Durant or Booker going off on a nightly basis. You have the blowout risk as well. I'll go Kevin Durant, but man, he could absolutely make me look dumb.
I'm going to go Booker. I'm with you. I don't have a ton of interest in the Phoenix spend ups here. So favorite 6X play today.
I like Malik Monk a bunch. Good game environment. I think the $6,300 price tag is great. I think Kevin Herter being out really solidifies his minutes. And I think that he's a little bit blowout proof as well. Like, as in, he'll get more run than Fox or Sabonis would if this game does get out of hand. So feel super good about Malik Monk today.
Yeah. I think there's a lot of good spots just overall on this slate. A lot of good spend up options. Like that call on Monk. We talked about him quite a bit. There's a couple spots that I feel like are risky if the game stays close or if it doesn't stay close. But one spot that I really like today is DeAndre Ayton. I talked about him. I like this spot quite a bit. You know, he's played 37 or more minutes in four straight games, five out of his last six out of his last eight. So the minutes are up for Ayton, and like his production is just fantastic right now. Like, he is a walking double-double. He's a guy that could go 15-30 on any given night. So I really just kind of want to keep playing DeAndre Ayton. So that's my favorite 6X play today. Let's get weird. GPP play of the day. Who do you got for us today?
I'm staying in that same Sacramento-Toronto game. I'm going to take some shots on Jontay Porter. He's been playing really well. Feels like he's earning a bigger role. He's 4K. I think he gets blowout run if it gets out of hand. Boucher is out as well. Like, that doesn't matter unless this game gets way out of hand. But I think Porter could see a couple extra minutes in this spot. I'll take some shots there.
Yeah, my Let's Get Weird GPP play is someone we already talked about earlier in the podcast. Jordan Nwora is just a fantastic tournament play today. It's just a fantastic tournament play. Betting portion of the show, player props, pick 'em plays. Got anything for us today?
I do. I really like Keontae George over 19.5 points. You have Markkanen and Clarkson both out again. John Collins has that questionable tag. Last time in this situation, we saw them insert Chris Dunn into the starting lineup, who's a much lower usage player than Colin Sexton. They ran Sexton off the bench. I think George has a ton of upside. With Markkanen and Clarkson out, Collins out would be another bonus. Over 19.5 points for Keontae George.
I was like looking at Hendricks' lines too in that game earlier. So don't mind. Listen, Keontae George, staple. He's a staple for me. Yeah, I mean, there's quite a few bets that I like. I gave out a couple as we were going here. Really like Gary Trent over 19.5 points. Fantastic shooting spot. We have the team that allows the highest 3-point percentage, has one of the highest allowed shooting percentages as well. So Gary Trent over 19.5 is one that I really like. I also really like DeAndre Ayton over 21.5 points. This has just been a guy that has been a staple on my betting card for the last week and a half. And I'm not going to stop here in this matchup against Zubac. He's playing too many minutes. He's hit this in five of his last six games. His usage is way up. Grant's doubtful again. So DeAndre Ayton over 21.5 points, Gary Trent over 19.5 points. There's no lines that are like jumping off the page to me here today. I was looking at them and like, I feel like a lot of the games are kind of where they should be. And a lot of the favorites are where they should be. Anything on the lines part for you, over unders, anything like that?
Nothing was jumping out to me. A lot of wide spreads. That not typically a spot I try to target. Just too much can go wrong when you get the scrubs on the floor at the end. Teams can make runs. So I don't like betting big spreads. Nothing really standing out for me from a total standpoint either. So I don't have anything in that regard yet.
All right. If you want to, feel free to shoot me a tweet at StevieTPFL or comment on this video. I was thinking earlier today, and really quickly just wanted to bring this up, do we do a player prop for a pitcher and a player prop for a hitter on the Morning Grind Baseball? I'm starting to like prep baseball podcast stuff, and I'm just curious what you listeners want. So if you want a pitcher and a hitter, there's not a lot of times that I'm going to like a lot of lines for baseball night before because we don't have lineups yet. So I typically won't do a lot with that. But if you want a hitter and a pitcher or just one or two props and you can take a two pitchers or two hitters. So interested to hear your thoughts on this one. So that's going to wrap it up here for Wednesday. We're back tomorrow talking more hoops. Have a fantastic day. We'll see you again tomorrow.